forgiveness. And I have to tell you, I've been working on this message since before youth camp. So I've had a lot of time to think about this. And it's an issue that I really think we need to take to heart as a church. I think it's an area that we need to stop and really do some self-examination about. So I want to invite you to take your Bible and find the book of Hosea while I kind of set up the message, because that's not one of those books that you open to very often. It's a fairly long book, but we're going to look at several different passages from here. And it's this idea I want to talk to you about this morning is this idea of uncomfortable forgiveness. I suspect this is an area that a lot of us actually struggle with, if we were honest. We find ourselves, myself included, you and me, I think all of us deal with this. We find ourselves holding grudges sometimes, holding animosity sometimes for years towards people. Sometimes we even hold it against people who are dead, which is just nuts, right? I mean, what are you going to do about it? I mean, you're still mad at them and you can't even talk to them. And if you can, I don't want to know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just kind of there. But this idea of forgiveness, and when we hold a lack of forgiveness, does it really reflect the love of Christ? Does it reveal God in our lives? Does living with that kind of spirit really reflect the presence of God? Now, back in the Old Testament, there's a little book set in the days of a guy named Jeroboam II. It's not important who he was exactly, except this. He ruled toward the end of the time of the northern tribe, 10 tribes called Israel. And he did something that was kind of unusual. About 25 years before they were wiped off the map, he expanded the boundaries of their kingdom. So from a purely human standpoint, you'd look around and go, hey, things are going pretty good. We're growing, we're expanding, things are going well. And into the midst of that guy's rule comes Hosea. Hosea's an interesting little character. This land had been established under a situation of rebellion and animosity. They never followed after God. They never had a king that followed after God's heart. They never had leadership that would reflect God's perspective at all. And as they get close to the end of this time, God sends Hosea to them. And into this setting comes Hosea with a call to be an example of a people who are filled with uncomfortable forgiveness. And you're going, what are you talking about? We're going to jump around in the book of Hosea, and it's not just 1 to 3. We're actually going to end up in chapter 14 before it's all said and done. But I want you to see four kind of pictures from the book before we try to bring it together and apply it maybe to us. So look at chapter 1, just a couple of verses. Verse 2, when the Lord spoke first through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, you ready? Here's God's word to Hosea. Go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Now, you're going to go in, did we just read that passage right? We did. Here's what God tells Hosea to do. He says, I want you to go and marry. That's an honorable thing, right, guys? Go marry. God's never told me to go marry a wife of whoredom. But he did, Hosea. Can I put that in modern parlance? He said, go marry a prostitute. Do what? That can't be in the Bible, right? It is. This is a strange little story. God commands a man who he has called and set aside as a prophet of his own to go and marry this woman. Let that sink in. This is not go marry your high school sweetheart. This isn't go marry the queen of the prom, okay? This is go to the dirtiest, nastiest place you can find and find the dirtiest, nastiest woman you can find and marry her. Wow. Getting a picture? Not a pretty picture. Some of you would say, oh, God, I think you got this wrong. I can't do that. Hosea hears the command to go marry the woman who happened to be named Gomer. We always kind of chuckle at that name, probably because of Jim Nabors, but anything. It's just another name. And she was the daughter of a woman named Diblaim, who apparently, according to scholars, was also a prostitute. So she was in a family business, okay? And Hosea is sent to marry this woman. They get married. They start having kids. If you have the King James, it has the cool old names in there. If you have some of the modern translations, they're different. But the first kid's name was Jezreel, because in a little while I'm going to punish the house of Jehu, the king, for the blood of Jezreel, and I'm going to put an end to the house of Israel. God tells them this, your end is about to come, and it's going to happen in the Jezreel Valley, right there in the middle of Israel, northern Israel today. The second kid was named Lo-Ruhamah. It translates as no mercy. God has said this, you've gone so far that there's not going to be mercy for you if you're not careful. Then he says, the third child is named Lo-Ami, not my people. He says, because you're not my people and not your God. What God is doing through this process is setting up a visual picture of the evil and the rebellion and the ugliness in the lives of God's people in that day through Hosea. So look at number two. What happens? Chapter 2, verse 2. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband, that she put away her whoring from her face and her adultery from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and make her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and make her like a parched land, and kill her with thirst. Upon her children also I'll have no mercy, because they are children of whoredom, for their children has their mother has played the whore. She has conceived them as who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax and my oil and my drink. Therefore I will hedge up her way with thorns, and I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her paths. She will pursue her lovers but not overtake them, and she will seek them but not find them. So you're going, okay, I got the picture. Hosea is told by God to go marry this woman, to have children. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were Gomer and this had happened to you, your reaction, let's just presume here, would be, man, I've been delivered. I've been set free. I've been taken out of this ugly, evil, wicked lifestyle. I have three children. God is blessing us in amazing ways. Y'all with me? You tracking so far? You with me? You think this is a good thing. What does she do? She runs off and returns to the life of prostitution. We're going to bring this all together here in a minute, so hang in there. This seems like a ludicrous action to me. You're going, seriously? You've gotten set free from what is a very difficult profession to get out of in that ancient world, and God has delivered her through this guy named Hosea, and they've had children. But some point after the third kid is born, she says, I'm going back. I'm going to go back to the mess. I'm going to go back to the lifestyle. I'm going to go back to the things. But she, look at verse 7, she pursues her lovers. But she can't overtake them. She finds the life to be unfulfilling. She seeks them. She can't find them. She can't find the life worth living in that mess that she's gone back to that God has delivered her from through her husband. Y'all with me so far? You following the story? It is an insane story when you look at it. She's not finding what she's looking for. And that puts Hosea in a situation, doesn't it? Guys? The wife takes off and does that. What do you do? Easy, right? Gomer who? Y'all with me? Gomer who? Come over to chapter 3. Hosea is called to do this, to redeem his wife. And the Lord said to me, chapter 3, verse 1, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Even, and the picture starts to come together here, y'all, hang in. even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. Hosea, commanded by God to marry a prostitute. They get married. They have children. She runs off. And God says, go after her. Go what? To go to a woman who once received his love and then rejected his love so that they could reestablish their relationship. And here it is. We see this woman who grew up apparently in adultery, who grew up in prostitution because her mother was there. And God has delivered her from it. And he has started to establish a family with her. And now she says, I'm going to run back to it. And Hosea is told to what? Go after her. What? What he's doing in this story is making an illustration, listen, of the love that God has for his people. You're going, well, I'm no Gomer. I would beg to differ. You and I, pardon the pun, are big Gomers. We are. You're going, what? No, no, I'm not like that at all. Seriously? We are. Because we don't allow forgiveness to flow not only to us, but through us. We take these offenses and things in life and we hold on to them and we never let things go and we hold on to these thoughts and these angers and this animosity and this bitterness and it just eats at us. And yet God says, I'll still come after you. He redeems his wife. Now, at this point in the book, the next 11 chapters describe the ugliness and pain that the bride's going to have to face, the people of Israel. He's going to allow all kinds of trials and suffering and pain and all these things come into their life. But in the end, flip over to chapter 14. We find what happens. Chapter 14, verse 1. He says this, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, accept what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses. We will say no more our God to the work of our hands. In you the orphan finds mercy. Look at the end of verse 3. In you the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily. He will take shoot like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots will spread out. His beauty will be like the olive and his fragrance like Lebanon. They will return and dwell beneath my shadow, God's shadow, and they will flourish like the grain, and they will blossom like the vine. Their fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. Here's what we find in chapter 14. Let me remind you. It started in chapter 1 with what? God telling Hosea to go marry a prostitute. Weird story. They do. They have children. Then she does what? Runs off again. And God says, go after her. Love her. Pursue her. Chase after her. And then we find the outcome in verse 4 of chapter 14. We find this, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. And you're going, Patrick, what does this have to do with anything? This weird little Old Testament story, I believe, is speaking not only to the nation of Israel how God would pursue them and love them. It's also setting up a picture, are you with me? Of how God loves us. You're going, what? See, we like to think that we are all pretty good. Well, we're saved. We're following the Lord. We're doing the things he's called us to do. We're listening to his voice. We're there. More often than not, we carry unforgiveness for others. We carry animosity for others. We carry bitterness for others. And God is calling us to be the object of his love, just as Gomer was the object of Hosea's love. He says, I love you. I love you. I forgive you. I receive you back. Now what are you going to do with it? Three thoughts I want you to see and I'll be done. The first one I want you to see is this, is the need. Guys, I've never had to deal with this situation personally, and I'm grateful for that. But I've had to sit down with counseling sessions with couples who've had stuff like this going on. And I want you to know, whether it's the man or the woman who's the offense, there's a decision that has to be made in that moment that you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to write the whole thing off, or you're going to what? Beg for forgiveness. But you don't understand what he did. You don't understand what she did. You don't understand what they've done. You don't understand. Listen, God understands. Because every one of us have offended the senses of holy God with our sinfulness. None of us are exempt. You sit there and go, well, I'm not as bad as. Great. Are you as good as Jesus? Of course you're not. So here's what I want you to grasp is this thought. If we're really honest with ourselves, more often than not, we do things like this when people offend us or when there's situations arise, when there's struggles, we do this. We go, I'm done. I'm writing them off. I may have to say hi to them, but I'm not going to speak to them again. I may have to look at them, but I'm never going to be friends with them again. I'm done. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that with us? And it may take a moment where you have to just, Kelly, you up there? Suck it up, buttercup. And beg someone, will you forgive me? God, will you forgive me? He will. But there's also this idea of this relationship between us. See, we say these things, but I got to tell you, God doesn't respond that way, does he? He doesn't say, done, write you off, finished, move on. I'm grateful God doesn't do that, aren't you? He says, I'm going to accept you even when you've messed it up. See, we have this sin nature that just drips all over us, doesn't it? This inborn sin nature and this propensity to sin. And let me tell you what, one of the things that you're really good at is sin, okay? Just like me. But thankfully, God wants to take us to a different relationship. God chose to send his son to give us redemption. God chose to provide forgiveness for us, even when we were in a desolate place of living a life of, as Hosea would call it, whoredoms. The model of forgiveness by God is this. He says, I'm going to forgive you as you beg for forgiveness. Why can't we do the same for each other? Why can't we forgive one another? Even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's not easy, even if it's not what we want to do, because the God of the universe has forgiven us. Second, well, if you're going to beg for forgiveness, you got to what? Grant it. You got to give it. You got to let it happen. See, you find yourself in the middle of a conflict and offense. Here, you got a decision to make. Am I going to just write it off or am I going to work on it? Am I going to move on or am I going to work in the moment? Some of you might say this, I don't feel like giving forgiveness. I don't feel like giving them forgiveness at all. Guilty. I struggle with this too. Listen, I struggle with this stuff just like you do. You're like, oh, well, pastors don't have those kind of issues. Man, if you only knew the issues that pastors have, and it's not just the members of the church, I promise you, it's bigger issues than that. I struggle with these kind of things. I don't do it. I suspect Hosea didn't feel like marrying a prostitute. Did you know that? I suspect he really didn't feel like going back and forgiving her after she ran off on him. But he did. The model here is a person who says, I am going to forgive. Uncomfortable forgiveness is exactly what this means. Uncomfortable. You're going, I don't like it. I don't think it's good. Few of us say, well, I think I'd like to be uncomfortable today. No, none of us do that, do we? I think I'll stick a nail in my shoe and see how it feels today. Nobody wants to do that. It's nuts. But uncomfortable forgiveness means that we have to work through it to get to the point where we give it. A number of years ago, I was working with a guy who was a Christ follower. You might suspect we probably worked at church together because I've worked at church, seems like, most of my adult life, which is true. You know, it's hard to believe a guy as lovable and easy to get along as I am could ever have a conflict with anybody. But it happens. I see a smile there, Pam. That's good. From day one, we clashed. Maybe it was personality. He had one, I didn't. I don't know. But here's the deal. We had to work together. And he and I never saw eye to eye on matters of trying to serve in a local church. But that didn't give us an excuse not to try to have forgiveness. And to have restoration, and to give forgiveness. You see, when we are unwilling to seek forgiveness, even uncomfortable forgiveness, what we find is we are then trapped in those moments where God is not able to move in our lives any longer. Hosea had to give forgiveness to a woman who did that. And he did. One more thought for you is this. If you'll beg for forgiveness, beg for restoration, and if you'll finally grant forgiveness, here's what will happen, is you'll have renewed fellowship. That's what happened in the story of Hosea. What happens in this story between Hosea and Gomer is this. In the end, their relationship was renewed. From all appearances, We don't have second Hosea to hear the rest of the story, so we just have to go based on what we see in the book. But in chapter 14, they got through that, and they were back together, and they were moving forward together. Did they have a history? Absolutely. Did they have issues in their past? Absolutely. Had they learned something from some of that stuff? Well, I hope so. But here they are. And I love the description in chapter 14 of their future, verse 4, I will heal, God says, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. My anger has turned from them. Oh. I want you to see, when we choose to humble ourselves to the place that we're willing to beg for restoration, that we're willing to say, okay, not my will, but God's will. Not my way, but God's way. Not my way, but his way. Then you're able to move into forgiveness and renewal and relationship and have an intimacy once again with God. What I want you to see is this. When you and I choose to walk this pathway that God has for us, because I'm convinced that God doesn't call us all to marry prostitutes, but he does call us to live with an attitude of forgiveness. That when we'll do that, here's what we'll find, is that God can work through us with all of our weird quirks and diverse ways and crazy thoughts and different opinions and all this other stuff that's so typical in every local church I've ever been a part of, this one included, and do some amazing things with us. Or we can sit back and go, nope, my way or the highway. Can I tell you something? I don't want my way. I want God's way. I want him to move among us. I want him to move in us. I want him to move through us and renew fellowship as a church. So let me ask you this. Have you come to the place where you've answered God's call? You say, well, I don't know God, so how can I follow God? Well, the first step is to follow God with your whole heart. And then he can make all this other possible. The conclusion is right here. We are called this to emulate God's uncomfortable forgiveness. God forgives you when you confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, is what the scripture says. How about take that forgiveness and turn it around, even if it's uncomfortable? Turn around and give it to others and let God work through you. Father, we just thank you for allowing us to come together this day and to spend some time in your word, to spend some time praying, singing, observing the Lord's table. And Father, I pray that as we maybe take your word to heart, not my words, but your word, that you'd speak to us about forgiveness. God, you've forgiven us. We love that thought. We love the thought of being forgiven. Father, I pray that we'd take that forgiveness and turn it around to others and be a forgiving people, because we serve a forgiving God. Lord, I pray for those in this room who have some type of decision to make, some who need to make their decision to follow you public, some who need to connect to a local body believer, some who just need to meet you for the very first time and find your forgiveness. I pray that your spirit would speak in these few moments, and that, God, we would respond to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing this song. You respond as God leads you this morning, and we'll wait for you. Amen.